T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
617 now. It's going to go up to 70 degrees. The sun will come up. I know it probably for a lot of us doesn't seem like it will, but it's going to. And it turns cool tomorrow. Highs of 62 and 64 on Wednesday. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Was 2019 the successful season for the black and gold? I guess it depends on how you look at it. 55% are saying no. 45% are saying yes. Mike Dettillier joins us now, our friend, WWL NFL and college football analyst. And Mike, it seems like in the old days, 13-3, win a division, hey, everybody's happy, right? At least we got to the playoffs. But I don't think it's the same thing now, is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. You've raised the bar here. Sean has raised the bar on what your expectations is or are to end the season. And, you know, you the way it ends now, 3 straight years to end the season like this, I think the expectations was this football team was good enough to get to the Super Bowl, and you didn't make it happen. You can blame everybody else, but you can blame the guy in the mirror. Lost this football game yesterday. Yep. You didn't play well. You were outplayed, outcoached, and this is not the best of 5, a best of 7. It's one game. And yesterday, the Vikings were better than the Saints.
You know what? I was thinking about it that way today, Mike, in terms of each individual player. If you can look in the mirror and say you did everything you could to win the game, if you're a coach and you look in the mirror and you said you did everything possible to win the game, well, and I guess that means they're better players and they're better coaches, right? If not, then you'd have to say, well, we left something out there that we should have brought to the game and we didn't.
Well, you left something out there. Just the way it ended. Come on, you had situations that from a missed field goal to a fumble, and you just sure took the sack, mm-hmm. Drew. At that point, you can't try to make something happen. You got to take the sack. The Vikings came in with a game plan, and what surprised me was how well, and we talked about it so much in the pregame, they have handled the Saints up front. Because we talked about strength versus strength. The Vikings defensive line going up against the Saints offensive line. The Vikings won that. And they said it after the game. You know, part of that was they took some features they saw in both games the Saints played against Atlanta, 1-1. One was a win, one was a loss, and used that against them. And so that was a coaching situation there where the Vikings found a weak link in the chain. And, you know, you lose the turnover ratio. You were running the football. You should have done more of that. So, I mean, listen, losing has a bunch of fathers.
Yep.
It's just not one thing. It has a ton of fathers at the end.
They got
but
a bunch.
It's so abrupt.
They got a bunch of fathers, but sometimes it takes who's that guy's name? Maury Povich, to determine who the father is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, on this thing, it'd be a couple of shows on that. But this is why the NFL is what it is. It's abrupt. When it ends, it's over.
It's a finale.
And that mentality of, hey, when you lose, you go home, sometimes it's stunning. It's just how you get hit with it. And yesterday, the way this football team got played, you knew the Vikings were a pretty good team. You know, listen, when you get to the playoffs, you're a good football team. But it was how well they handled the Saints up front. And you know what? They went after your best, one of your better players on defense.
Let me pick it up here.
They went after Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, let me pick it up here when we come back. Mike, something else I want you to address is that the Vikings yesterday, 40 rushing attempts, 31 passing. The Saints rushed the ball 17 times. They threw it 34, twice as many. I think the question there, Mike, you can answer when we come back is that because of a coaching decision that was made, or is that because the Vikings refused to let him run the ball, or prevented them from running the ball And is there another option in terms of Latavius Murray? Would there have been a way to run the ball? 6:21, time now for traffic on WWL.
Well, you ran the ball 17 times, and what it was, 97 yards?
Yeah.
So just doing the math in my head, what is that, 5.7 yards a rush?
5.7.
Okay. That's pretty successful for me. But, you know, a big part of that, add up the plays, you know, because of the fact the Vikings rushed the ball 40 times, threw it 31, the Saints 17 carries as running and 34 passing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, look how much more the Vikings had the football yesterday.
Yep.
They played it in their lane of traffic. The Saints could not convert on third downs until really the fourth quarter. It started to click a little bit. So, again, it goes back to the number of plays. But if you would have told me before the game, Saints just run the ball 17 times, I'd have told you that's a loss. That's not the type of football that they normally do to win games. It's the balance. But, you know, all my thinking is 5.7 yards a rush. That's pretty strong.
That ain't bad.
And
that's a first down. That's a first down after two rushes, right?
And you look at the Vikings, they average, you know, if it's 40 carries and 135, 136 yards, that's about, what, 3.4 a carry. So, again.
Now you're pretty smart, ain't you, Mike?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah.
They had some commitment to it. And in the first half, Dalvin Cook gashed him. Now, the second half, I give the Saints a lot of credit. They made the adjustment to stop Dalvin Cook, but he controlled the tempo of the game in the first half. Second half, that wasn't the case. So, again, you got beat up front, offensive, defensive line. And when you lose that battle, you lose in games. But bottom line, you got to lose it.
Listen to this. This is a call from yesterday with Zach Streif.
Brees takes a snap, waist high, drops back, looking to throw towards the end zone. Touchdown, Taysom Hill! Taysom Hill all alone in the back of the end zone, and that is exactly what this offense needed.
We had a miscommunication. I wanted the highlight of, and it's my fault, I wanted the highlight of Taysom Hill's long completion, okay? Could Drew Brees have thrown that pass?
You watch that pass. Bobby and I sit next to one another. Watch it closely. Of the concentration on Deontay Harris. Reasoning why, you can see the defender put his hand right in front, almost swatting the football away at the final second, and it got through. Deep passes, I'm just telling you, in this league, you don't see a lot of them. Yeah, and Taysom, man, just was an unbelievable game yesterday for what he did.
But you know what I'm asking.
He left it all out on the field.
You know what
now,
I'm asking.
Again, that's not true about Drew. I think arm strength-wise for the deep pass, that was never a great feature for him.
Mm-hmm.
And today, as you get older, it's not going to be a great feature for you.
I will take a break for news, but again, like you say, that's not – you know, common in the NFL. Normally it's more like short passes that are almost like runs. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL here. Now, Dave Cohen with WWL First News. 6:45, 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. I can't see the sun from where I am, but I presume that it has, in fact, risen, something that a lot of us weren't sure of after yesterday's game. Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL college football analyst. Mike, is there some Saints could have done to adjust yesterday? Did they wait too long to do it? Because, you know, when you look at Dalvin Cook, they held him to 94 yards. He didn't bust 100, and the Saints have done well against big-time running backs this season. I don't think anybody got over 100, did they?
They haven't had they haven't given up 100 yards rushing to an individual rusher since November of 2017.
Wow.
And in Football Jeopardy, that guy is Samaje J. Perine with the Redskins. No, listen, that would be a tough one on Football Jeopardy.
You would. So could they have – did you see any adjustment that they made yesterday, or was it just getting their butt kicked on a line all day long?
No, it wasn't all day. And when you look back at it with Cook, he was gashing them in the first half. And then they made adjustments in the second half, and he didn't dominate the game.
It looked like he was running into walls in the second half.
Exactly. But, you know, the surprise part is that Adam Thielen, and it's funny, we talked about this in a pregame, Thielen had been a bit of a disappointment this year. Vikings fans, even people that covered the Vikings, brought up he wasn't as dominant. Yesterday caught 7 passes for 129 yards. And they went after Marshawn Lattimore in that spot. But, again, many times you saw Kirk Cousins had a lot of time to throw the football. They didn't have pressure on him. So, again, kind of one domino has to hit the next. You can't cover forever. And if you don't get a pass rush, they were able to convert on much better on the third down situations than the Saints were. Now, in the fourth quarter, the Saints seemingly kicked into gear. But still, it was one of those type games that you see how it breaks down. It was the recipe for a loss.
You know, when you look at next year, and, you know, we can talk about the game yesterday all morning long with the listeners, but when you look at next year, they got some serious free agent issues that they have to address.
Well, yeah, and you got to decide what you want to do. I think this year, this offseason, will be the most active that I've seen in my time frame for veteran quarterbacks of what's going to happen. If it's Brady, Breeze, Philip Rivers, Matt Stafford, Teddy Bridgewater, that's a list of these guys that what is going to happen to them in the offseason. I don't think I'd be shocked if Brady and Breeze retired. I'd be shocked. Both of them are going to play again. I hear a lot of people, they both ought to retire. My thing is, did they tell you to retire? You know, it's your job. It's sort of like the Seinfeld episode. My neighbor Joe Clark had it years ago. You know, Joe retired in his late 70s as a coach. And he was like, you know what? I'd like to go to somebody else's workplace and watch them and critique them. And, you know, Seinfeld did an episode not long after that about, because he had got heckled at a nightclub. And then he went try to heckle somebody at work. And I think that's when she got the pinky toe
lost. Exactly. But along those lines, there's something else going on with Seinfeld as well in Dallas, and that's Jason Garrett. He kind of refuses to leave, huh?
Yeah, pretty much he's like Costanza.
Yeah.
He comes back into the office afterwards. So, listen, you know, some of that does have some relevance. But, again, you can see the pressure when it comes to playoff time and understanding that when you lose or you don't play well as a team, you stay home. And it's going to be an adventurous offseason for these teams of what do you do with the veteran quarterbacks if you have one? And how much are you willing to pay? And there's going to be a lot of ebb and flow with this.
Mike,
even Robert Kraft said this morning he would want Tom Brady to come back to New England. But if he doesn't, you know, he would hope he would retire. Well, you know, okay, that's great for you.
Easy for you to say.
But that ain't great for Brady, you know? Come on. You know Brady's going to play, and you know Breeze is going to play.
And Brady could say, you know, and Mr. Kraft, I prefer you were more discretionary about where you got your massages.
Yeah, right.
All right, when we come back, look, we'll talk about this quarterback. All three Saints quarterbacks are free agents, right? Taysom Hill, Teddy Bridgewater, and Drew Breeze. We'll delve into the quarterback position when we come back right here on WWL, where we pause for traffic. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, Mike Dettelier, NFL and college football analyst. Next hour, we're going to have open lines. I want you to call me, tell me what you have done, what have done differently yesterday. Mike, I'm going to table a quarterback question for now because the rumors have already begun that Sean Payton's going to Dallas. They start every year, of course, but
Come
this year
on.
You got, and I'm just telling you, that's what the rumors, address that, if you will, please.
He just signed an extension to this contract. He just got a new deal. Apparently people don't either they're thick-headed or they don't understand what a new deal is with a team. And he just signed a new contract with the Saints. So they can stop that. Listen, I got buddies of mine that I would never want to work with, but I love them to death. And I think that's the deal with Sean. I think him and Jerry get along great, but he's worked for Jerry before.
Mm-hmm.
He understands control part on Jerry. So that's not going to happen. He's not going to Dallas. He has a new deal with the Saints. It was announced this year. So why would somebody, unless you thick-headed, understand about what a new contract means?
All right, so the three quarterbacks, free agents as of now, Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Brees, and Taysom Hill. Ain't no way Taysom Hill's going anywhere. Would that be correct?
He's restricted, too.
Oh, is he?
He
okay.
is a free agent, but he is restricted. And I think Drew returns, to be honest with you. I think the big question mark is what happens with Teddy? And do the Saints believe that he is the guy to eventually be the replacement for Drew? I think Teddy is going to get a better deal somewhere else.
Eli Apple on the team next year?
No, I think he's going to get a better contract somewhere else.
What about David Onyemata?
David, along with Von Bell, becomes the two big question marks on defense, on what do you want to do there. Von was having, a really strong year before he got hurt. And Onyemata's part of that rotation. The two big money deals, though, are two deals for guys entering the final year of their contract. Alvin Kamara on offense, Sheldon Rankins on defense. What do you do with both of them? Because you don't want to get them into that once this 2020 is over with and then do a deal when they can become free agents.
Right.
So you try to do that money deal earlier. That's a lot of financial decisions this team has to look at in the mirror, so to speak, this offseason.
Then they really got you by the cup. Andrus Pete.
I think Andrus leaves. I think for him, financially, he's going to get a better deal somewhere else. And I still think in the back of his mind, he believes he can play left tackle. And playing left tackle means he's going to have to go to another team.
So real quick, when it comes to Michael Thomas, how'd they take him out of the game? Was it about the pressure on Drew where he didn't have time to look? Were they in the scheme where they pretty well took all of the receivers out?
Well, listen, man, that pressure came right up the middle. They attacked the Saints interior yesterday.
Yep.
It wasn't off the edge. It was right up the middle.
There was no pocket to step up into.
No, and they bombed his launch pad.
Yep.
They got him off of center, and that took away those short throws to Thomas. Also, I got to give props to Xavier Rose, who had not played good all year. He played really well yesterday against Mike. I thought that was certainly his best football game. But it all starts up front, Tommy. That's where they had the Saints by the teriyaki. In essence, Drew was running backwards because of that intense pressure right up the middle.
If y'all tape the game, go back and look at it because you'll see what Mike's talking about. Usually the linemen form a pocket, obviously, that's what they
like
call
a cup.
It. Yeah, like a cup. The rush goes around him. Drew steps up. When Drew stepped up yesterday, he was stepping into a wall.
Yep.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the time. Y'all are second guessing this evening, right?
Yeah, we do it till the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday. So, yeah, we'll be there at the Slipper tonight, Bobby J and I, from 4 to 7.
Thank you, Michael. A pleasure as always.
All right, buddy.
Have a good day. Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL and college football analyst. When we come back, I didn't want any guests. I wanted to open the lines.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.